You're listening to episode 119 of the Forest Podcast, recorded Monday, July 4th, 2011.
The Germans?
Welcome to the Forest Podcast. I'm Mike Evans.
I'm Kenneth Love.
And we are your daily tech design and development Woody Woodpecker.
Do the laugh. Come on, do it.
I did it so much better earlier. This is awesome.
We'll do it again.
Nope. It's, I'm gun
shy. Don't worry
about it.
Let's go on. Let's go to the next one.
So this is, we're actually doing, this is a beta test. We're going to put the episode out, but this is our first time trying to do a serious video. We don't have everything, so it might look a little weird. So whatever, but enjoy, bitches.
Okay.
And there's
Kenneth
Love.
I had to smack some talk in the IRC, in the chat room.
All right, why can't... why
If you want to chat, if you want to talk to us while we're doing this, you can either go to the website, ustream.tv/channel/forest-podcast, or if you're intelligent about the ways of the internet, you can join the IRC channel, which is chat1.ustreamtv, or ustream.tv, sorry. You'll have to give them your password, and then you will join channel forest-podcast.
It's outrageous.
Yeah. And it works much better than the chat on the site does. The chat on the site is complete shit. But thanks to Ustream for having us on.
Oh, right? You know, Ustream, thank you for inviting us. And, you know, I got my gold invitation in the mail. It was quite lovely.
Did you? Mine was inside a chocolate bar.
Kenneth Love has pointy teeth.
It wasn't under the wrapper. It was actually inside the chocolate bar.
I'm actually liking the chat room so far.
I'm going to sue. Yeah.
All right, why developers can't afford to ignore design from Web Designer Depot?
Yeah, so Web Designer Depot says that web developers can't afford to ignore design.
They don't know how much I make.
Well, and it seems like most of their reasoning behind this is Google Video, which admittedly looked like ass, and then Yahoo, which has way too much shit on it, mm-hmm. and. That seems like that's really kind of about it. I think it's kind of funny that this article came out in the middle of June.
Don't tell them the dates. Don't let them know how far behind
and,
they are.
And then Google Plus came out, which looks very nice. Looks much, much better.
Google Plus
than,
is gorgeous.
The old Google stuff does. Yeah. So, yeah. I don't know how accurate this would be anymore.
The case against over-design. I don't know. Like, over-design, I mean, to me, when you start doing design, it is either design or it's decoration. And once you over-design, you've moved into the decoration part.
Right.
You're not even... What is that old tweet from Zeldman from, 2008 or something like that, where it's like, content precedes design because if you're designing without content, it's just decoration. It's just bullshit. So,
right.
I agree.
Right. Right. Because you can't disagree with the Papa Bear.
No, you can't, because he's half bear.
You get mauled.
I decided that when we do the Forest Podcast website, we actually have to have a Forest Podcast packs or facts. We should put them on T-shirts and shit.
That would be good. Yeah, just on the back of the T-shirt, we print like a random fact, like
right.
Jeffrey Zeldman is half bear.
Ryan Carson doesn't have the top of his head. The hat.
No. Ryan Carson changed. Remember, Ryan Carson is now a robot being driven by an alien brain.
Oh, right, that too.
Yeah,
there's a few of them. Well, he's been abducted a few times, and each time they do a new little experiment on him.
Yeah, it's gonna be a real pain in the ass to get sucked up by aliens that often.
Unless they're just sexy aliens,
right? Scobalizer, Scobal is another one that often gets sucked up by aliens.
Is Scobal in my room right now? No.
Yeah, no. But Scobal does have a good point in his post. Has the tech industry forgotten users? We're in an insider bubble.
Fuck the users.
No, he's got a really good point here. He talks about how David Heinmer Hansen, DHH, wrote up this blog post about how all he needs on his iPhone is 10 apps, and most of those apps are the ones that came from Apple.
I agree.
And he's like, oh, they're so fucking awesome, blah, blah, blah. How many apps do you have on your iPhone?
I'll tell you right now while you continue talking.
Anyway, though, what he's saying is that DHH didn't actually study the data. If you study the data, you find that most people have a lot of apps. They had 5,000 users that they checked for a total of 20,100 distinct apps.
I have 5,000 users. I have four aftermarket apps.
You have four aftermarket apps.
I have Cycle,
Is this on your Android phone where there were only four aftermarket apps?
This is on my iPhone. I have Cyclometer, which I use to track because I do a lot of bike riding for people who haven't watched the show ever. Then I have the Audible app, which is groovy. And then I have something called Instacast, which does a lot of podcasts. And then I have Tiny Tower, which is your fault.
Which is my fault, yes. I have more than four. I like most people, I have more than four
apps.
You have
307 apps.
I'm not sure exactly how many apps I have, but quite a few. Anyway, though, 5,000 users, 20,000 distinct apps. And what they found was that each one of them had four or more apps of which they were the only user in that sample group. So what this means is that a lot of people are trying out a whole lot of apps. They're finding a whole lot of them that they like,
right, but that's
that they want to keep.
How many they have, right, but how many of those are used more than, say, an hour a week?
Well, but the average person – so, okay, we've got 5,000 users, 20,000 apps. That's, what, 40 apps a person?
Right. But when you
so that's going to be including the Apple apps. So that's, what, 30 apps that are installed?
But if I go to
out
my
of those 30
iPad,
apps, they may not use them every single week, but they use them often enough that they don't think I should delete this.
I don't think people delete them. That's what I'm saying. Like, if you go to my iPad, I have probably 100 apps on there. I use probably about 10 of them. Once a month, and the rest are just like, whatever. They might be used, they might not be used, who cares?
Sure. I mean, there's got to be some that, I mean, we remember we had the thing 50% of all iPhone users have never synced their phone.
Right.
Right?
And plus, they're not all huge video games, you know, that are a gig a piece, you know, like it's Modern Combat or something like that. They're all little 2-meg apps, so I don't even feel like I need to get rid of them. They're just sitting there.
If you're installing 30 apps, you know how to delete 30 apps as well.
Maybe.
There's a good chance that you're going to have removed some, right? So the idea is that they're making some sort of conscious decision to keep these apps.
I guess.
I mean, he talks about, like, photographers, right? A lot of them, back in the 80s, he had a camera store or worked at one and sold a lot of Nikon cameras, right? Because that's what the pros used. Everybody used Nikons. So if you went to a sporting event, you saw guys on the sidelines with Nikons. So everybody went and bought Nikons.
No, man, you need the big white Canon lenses, the L lenses.
Only a small percentage of those customers really actually used all the pro features of the camera, but they wanted the ability to have all of them.
Right.
So what he's kind of getting at is that users are going to do a whole lot more than what we actually probably think they're going to do, because lots of times we look at it as from an insider's point of view, from a tech point of view, and that's not necessarily true.
I see. Well, you know what I say.
Scoble has a good point.
Fuck
it's
the
rare.
Users. They're ugly and they smell bad.
Scoble is rare at having a good point, but he has one.
Well, that's because he makes 30,000 points a day. You're going to get a few good ones in there.
Right, yeah. You know, it's the shotgun blast of good ideas.
It's like the Beatles.
Yeah. So, okay, somebody who has a lot of good ideas, Defunct, who is one of the brains
Defunct
behind GitHub. He has created something called .js. This is pretty cool. It's a Google Chrome extension. And then it looks for a folder on your machine that is called .js that sits in your home folder.
And then it gives you a troll face? I don't understand.
No. It can. And then inside there, you have a JavaScript file named for an individual domain. So if you wanted to affect like Google, you would have google.com.js, or you'd have forest.com.js or whatever, right?
Right.
Whatever's inside that JS file gets executed on that page whenever the page loads, any page for that site.
Okay.
They always have jQuery 1.6 available, so you can do jQuery selectors, whatever the hell you want to do. And then if you also have one that's called default.js, that's loaded on every single request. So you can put helper functions in there or the Raptor plugin or whatever.
It's kind of
right?
neat, yeah.
Yeah, it's a really cool idea. It works a lot like GreaseMonkey scripts, only you don't have to install it in your browser. You just have them on your system, which means you can put them into GitHub or Bitbucket or whatever, carry them around with you, all that kind of stuff.
Carry them around in your bucket.
Right. His example one, if you wanted to run that, will let you replace the OctoKitty on GitHub with the or whatever the icon is. I guess
you cannot replace OctoKitty. OctoKitty is too cute.
It's not the OctoKitty. It's the GitHub logo. Sorry, I misspoke.
Shame on you.
You can replace the GitHub logo with the troll face.
Did you see that OctoKitty? I love the 404 because OctoKitty is a Jedi. Like,
yes, and then there's a nice little bit of parallax in the
right,
back.
Yeah. I'm happy every time I randomly see things on GitHub because they do really cool shit.
They do really cool shit. And
I would pay so much for a stuffed OctoKitty. like little plush toy.
Would you?
I would love that tremendously.
Yes.
Yes, I would. Okay, next story. Balls.
All right. From Mr. Coles, Peter Coles, who is a software engineer in New York, works at Hunch. Hunch is pretty cool. Have you played with Hunch?
What the hell is Hunch?
I right now it's like a recommendation engine. But
what
cool
does it recommend? Hookers? I don't like.
Well, no, that's the thing. So
Lisa's
they have
better
this
than Jennifer.
Thing. You answer like hundreds of questions. They'll ask you like which you prefer out of like two things, and then based on your recommendations and other people who have made or your decisions, and based on people who have made similar decisions to you, they'll recommend things to you. Like, if you've said that you don't like Italian food and you love Thai food and you like beer, and there's 80 other people that have done the same thing, and they've all said that they liked the movie The Fifth Element,
right,
it will recommend The Fifth Element to you, because there's a chance
that if you like beer, you like The Fifth Element.
Right. Which is pretty much universal, because everyone likes beer and everyone likes The Fifth Element.
Yeah, I mean, if you don't like The Fifth Element, you just, I don't know.
If you don't like The Fifth Element, you should go kill yourself right now.
Don't kill yourself, but you should definitely do some cutting.
Yes.
This is awful.
Just cut off some balls or something. Anyway.
Wait, well, since we stopped for a second, people are complaining about the ads, and I just want to tell people that next week I'll be getting a pro account, which should remove the ads for you lovely viewers. Anyway, back
yes.
to the story.
I also find it funny that the chat censors profanity.
On this show.
So looking at our IRC, it's just censored. It's just horrible. So anyway, what Mr. Coles has provided us is six little snippets you can run on your command line that will turn your HTML, and in his case, Python, you could change the extension if you needed to for ERB or something, files so that they are no longer HTML4 or XHTML.
Right.
They will not be HTML5. It's just really simple stuff. It changes the doc type, changes the content type, meta tag.
It automatically knows what divs to turn into sections and what to make articles. I
yes,
mean, it does all the work
feature.
For you.
Yeah, it puts in timestamps, you know, all this fun stuff.
Right.
No, it just does very simple stuff to kind of get you going. It gets you to where you're actually doing HTML5 as far as the browser's validation is concerned. It doesn't give you any of HTML5's power. You don't get
the
any
power.
You're not,
the
it
power.
Doesn't put in new tags or anything like that for you. We're not going to lie to people about this.
Okay.
People are scared enough about using HTML5 already.
What are we going to lie to them about?
Something else. I don't know what. We'll find something else. Did you notice all of these all of the rage tune faces?
Yes,
that are cropping up
in the last two stories. They've been in there.
Yeah, Kyle, was it Kyle or Zach? One of those two sent me a Google Chrome extension the other day that lets you use rage faces on Reddit, and it seemed kind of pointless because Reddit's already.
Yeah, Reddit faces. Isn't that where they came from?
Yeah,
I don't
know.
This...
I don't know if it's from Reddit or if it's from 4chan. But
I don't know. All I know is this next story should have been with the Scoble story about 90% of users are idiots and fuck the users.
This isn't what this is about. This isn't about fuck the users.
Well, I guess I should read this then.
This story should be the thing that is like drilled into the head of every single person. Ever.
is this defensive design that they're going to be stupid?
This is from JitBit. And he said that he overheard a conversation of two developers at a co-working site that he was at. And the first one said, I plan on creating a prototype for my new whatever application. What do you think it should be, a web app or a desktop app? And the answer was, 90% of your users are idiots who won't be able to tell the difference.
Well, I think they'll be able to tell when they're in an iTunes store and they can't find it.
Well, now here's the thing, though. You just respond with 90% of your users are idiots to whatever question I ask you.
Okay.
Wondering if you should make this main button big or small?
90% of your users are idiots.
Wondering if it should be one button or two?
90% of your users are idiots.
You're absolutely sure that the pricing page of your website should have 15 different plans on your SaaS application?
I think your wife might be sleeping with Chris Jones. And 99% of your users are idiots.
So anyway, you kind of get what they're talking about in this article, that your users are idiots. You need to make as many decisions for them as you possibly can. Make things simple, because 90% of your users are idiots. The
10%
that are smart.
No options. The hell of options.
The 10% that are smart will come to you with what they need.
Right?
You provide the rest for the 90% that are idiots.
I've got this goat.
You know? They're not going to know enough to make these decisions. Somebody in the chat says it's probably 99.9%. I don't know if that's quite right.
So does that mean they're sanitized? What is sanitization? 99.99?
Yeah.
And
like
sterilized
that.
Is 999, whatever. Okay.
You talking about like eugenics or something now?
I have been reading the history of Germany for the past year. Coming of the Third Reich by Richard Evans. It's awesome.
You're just reading it because his last name's the same as yours.
Yeah.
Elliot J. Stocks.
Is this about type?
It's gotta be. It's about free HTML and CSS for type and palette proposals.
Palette? Are we
so
having wine?
You can go download the files, some basic layout, and then the type gives you just some kind of basic, simple type stacks, font stacks that you can use, and some simple, clean color palettes.
Oh, that's
so
nice. This is sure to be hot as hell. Didn't we just do, like, what was it called, Gridless, but it had a default type thing?
Yeah, I think so.
I would love to have default type suggestions from Elliot J. Stocks. That is pretty cool.
Well, now you have them. This will be great for people doing stuff like the Rails Rumble or the Django Dash, especially
baby.
The developers amongst the group that are not designers themselves,
right.
That probably want to have, you know, something that doesn't look like shit, but...
I wonder if you, like... I would love them if they were, like, set up, split up by themes. Like, if you have a fun site, you know, here's your papyrus and stuff like that. If you have a series, you know, that type of thing, that'd be kind of interesting.
Yeah, that would be more interesting.
Well, you should go make that suggestion to Elliot.
Should I?
You should.
Okay, I will.
I kind of ended on a down note.
Well, I'm trying to paste the link into the IRC channel.
Yeah, but it sucks.
But it removes the links.
I wonder if I'm admin if I can say allow links.
Because
yep,
that makes...
there we go. Allow links. They're on.
Okay. So I'm going to try it again. Look at that. Look at us trying to be helpful here. Can you allow cursing?
I don't know. Pause
let's
the chat.
Not worry about that one
turn
right
on
now.
Slow mode. No, I see nothing about allowing links.
Not profanity. Okay. Well, we'll figure
I mean,
that
allowing
out.
Profanity.
Okay. Let's go into the next one. This is from Randall Deggs.
I like Deggs.
And Deggs...
Deggs.
You like Deggs?
Dogs, Turkish. Dogs.
Fucking love that movie. What do you need a pistol for? In case the fucking Germans?
No. What do you need? What do you got that? What's the pistol in your trousers? Protection. Protections from who? The Germans?
The Germans? I love that movie. All right. Randall Deggs, Random Thoughts of a Happy Programmer. He's talking about programming deadlines.
Oh, no.
I mean, anytime you talk about deadlines, it's always, you know, Douglas Adams. Which I'm now trying to look up, which I probably should have done earlier.
Which book is that from?
It's not. It's actually from like an interview with him.
Okay. He said, "Fuck deadlines and fuck the users."
I love deadlines. I like the whooshing sound they make as they fly by.
Yeah, I've heard that before. I didn't know that was him.
Yeah. So anyway, from Randall though, he's talking about how you can kind of help yourself meet deadlines. And
hello, deadline. Nice to meet you.
Yeah, he's got some good advice, though. He says that it's a good idea to set up continuous deployment before writing any code. I don't know that you necessarily have to have the deployment part set up, but continuous integration is a great idea.
Yes.
Those of you who don't know what continuous integration is...
you haven't been watching the show because we've covered like six of them.
I know. A really great one is called Jenkins, and basically the way you set it up is you tell it, check every 5 minutes to see if my Git repo or my Mercurial repo has upgraded. Updated. Sorry, and if it has, then pull the code down, run these commands, and then tell me if they all succeeded.
Right.
So like you can have one pulls it all down, runs all your tests for you, and starts the server.
And then tell
me
who broke the build so we can cut them.
Right. If it fails, tell me who put in the last commit so that we can go find them.
What
and
if
kill
you
them.
Set up like something with an Arduino that is Double Dare style, so people get slimed. After breaking the commit.
I was thinking like a crossbow behind
him. And then Mark Summers comes up.
If Mark Summers is involved, then I fully support this.
Do you watch Unwrapped? I had to follow him from Double Dare to Unwrapped, and Unwrapped is pretty entertaining.
I watched Unwrapped for a while, yeah. That was good. Anyway, though, let's get back to this. Continuous deployment. Continuous deployment is just one step beyond continuous integration. It does all the continuous integration stuff, runs all the tests, make sure everything's good. If everything is good, then it pushes the build to your live server. So basically your code is like continuously upgrading.
Right.
Right? His second set of advice is to write your tests first. So if you like doing test-driven development, you'll already agree with him. If you don't, then you won't. Whatever. You know, the rest of it is kind of normal stuff. To-do lists, be transparent so that your client kind of knows, like, what's going on, things like that. So it's just little tips to kind of help you meet your deadlines if you're not very good at meeting deadlines.
I think your problem that you're working with here is that you are accepting deadlines being thrust upon you.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of deadlines.
Just look at it and be like, it'll be done when it's done.
Yeah, I mean, I can understand deadlines on something little, like, you know, how long is it going to take you to replace this text in my HTML email? An hour, because, you know, I'm lazy. But but if it's like, how long is it going to take you to build that CMS for my 80,000-page site? An hour. But no, I mean, whenever it's done. You almost got it.
Almost.
That sounded better. All right, so next item is from Hacker News. It's from a user named The Protagonist, and his question is, I want to learn how to code. Can anyone tell me how to start learning?
No coding.
So he wants to learn how to write programs. The reason that I kind of like this, and a lot of you will be surprised that I'm saying this, is for Zed Shaw.
Oh, son of a bitch.
He has the top answer on this, and it's actually really great. He said, I wrote this. He puts a link to Learn Python the Hard Way. It's free. Do this. And he gives 5 steps. And these are actually really good 5 steps. The first one is to use your current computer. It doesn't matter what you have. Get set up, go, start learning, start writing the code, right?
Right.
2, he says just use gedit. I would say just use any sort of plain editor that's easy to use, right? One
Wait,
that you already
There's
know.
Something other than TextMate?
Yes. You don't have to worry about using Vim unless you already know it, or Emacs unless you already know it, or whatever, right?
Right.
You can go get TextWrangler, you can go get TextMate if you want to spend a little money. You can go get...
Wait, you have to pay for TextMate?
You can go get Notepad++. You can go get whatever kind of editor that is simple and just works. You don't really have to worry about having something fancy, right? Start now. Don't delay it. Don't sit here and go, oh, I got to read half the book before I start writing code. As soon as he starts showing you code in the book, type in that damn code. Don't copy and paste it. Type it in yourself. Make it run. If it fails, fix it till it does work. Do the extra credit, move on to the next step.
Yeah, you definitely gotta type it in yourself. That's a good part of learning.
Copying and pasting is just... Well, because then you'll start to notice, oh, I always use this symbol when I'm doing a list. Or, right. Oh, I always, you know, have to reference strings in this way, whatever. Ignore other programmers that are telling you what their favorite tools are and that you should use them.
That's right. Pay attention to what his favorite tools are and why you should use them.
No, pay attention to what's working for you and use that.
Oh, okay.
You can choose new tools later.
Dennis, I don't care if you're listening to this show. You do what the fuck I tell you.
Yes, Dennis is an exception. And finally, he says, do it every night. 2 hours a night, and then take a break on, like, one day. So I'm guessing, like, you know, do it for 5 or 6 nights, take a break, right? And he's like, you know, you'll be surprised how quick you can get through the book. You'll get stuck, keep going, but you'll get through it. After that, you can move on to more advanced topics and try to learn other stuff.
You get to the fun stuff.
Right. But those are 5 very good points for if you're just like, I gotta learn how to program something. This is a great way of doing it. Also handy, the Khan Academy has a whole series on computer programming using Python. I watched one of the videos today. The guy's a little bit funny to listen to because he'll say the same thing like 3 times in a row.
Right.
But... It's pretty good. It's a pretty decent.
Well, what I've suggested dozens of times is also the iTunes University. The stuff from Caltech and Stanford is fantastic.
Yes. Actually, I saw one just the other day. Obviously, I look for Python stuff since I love Python. But it was an intro to computer science class from MIT that was learning computer science with Python.
With Python, nice.
Yeah.
So that works if you're doing Ruby too, because it's all
They're very similar, yeah. You wouldn't have too much trouble transporting ideas from one to the other. Ruby's addition of having symbols and things like that makes it a little bit more complex, but...
But the idea of what a loop is and the idea of... Right.
Yeah, the really basic stuff is going to translate perfectly. all right, bit qua bit.
Bit qua bit? Is, are they from Quebec? I don't understand.
This is Benjamin Pollock. He's one of the guys that works for Fog Creek.
What the hell is Fog Creek?
Fog Creek is Spolsky? Is that his name?
I don't know.
Jeff Spolsky, something like that.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
Fog Creek, it's a bug tracker.
Oh, okay.
It's pretty cool from what I've seen of it.
Is it? Is it pretty cool?
It is. From what I've seen of it, it's pretty cool. They also did... oh, fuck, what was the name of it? I want to say Herd, but Herd wasn't the name of it. Anyway, Fog Creek is a company. I think they've got a bug tracker, and then they've also got a Subversion and Mercurial project tracker, like Track.
Okay.
Only it's, like, aimed for, like, Mercurial users, and it's pretty cool, too. Anyway, though, his post is called Make Love, Not Flame Wars. He talks about he loves Mercurial. He likes it a lot. He got everybody use it at Fog Creek. He wrote a product about using it, which is the bug tracker I mentioned, or the repository tracker I mentioned. He's done all sorts of stuff, right? So he sees this question on Stack Exchange, programmers.stackexchange, which was, why is Mercurial considered to be easier than Git? And I went and read part of it, and it starts off pretty innocent. The guy's like, you know, I keep hearing that Mercurial is easier to use than Git. Why is that? Why does it have that appearance?
I don't know.
Why do people feel that way about Mercurial? And then it just descends into this horrible fucking flame war.
It's not easier than Git. You're just too dumb to see the light.
Yeah, it's like this whole thing
from
like
Sally.
It's
what the fuck, Sally?
Idiot. Like, it's not easier. You're just an idiot. I mean, but we get the same kind of thing, right? Like, I mean, you and I make fun of PHP. We do it out of fun. But there are a lot of people that seriously hate PHP with a fiery, vengeful passion and will mercilessly make fun of you for using PHP, right? There's the whole Emacs and Vim argument. There's the Python and Ruby argument because we, again, like to make fun of each other. There really is no animosity between Ruby and Python. We just like making fun of each other.
Yay.
Sort of, right?
Maybe.
So, anyway, what he's getting at is he thinks, you know, both sides are full of shit. I agree with him. And it's like this horrible Groundhog's Day.
You don't think one has to be better than the other?
I don't.
I mean, not better, but easier to use.
Well, I think it also really...
Somebody
depends.
Has that close button 2 pixels to the right that makes it just that much easier to click.
Right. Mercurial is definitely easier to use than Git. It's because Mercurial made a very conscious choice in their flow, in their development flow, to kind of hide a lot of these really, really complex things that Git, because it was made by fucking Linus, who needs to do complex things.
Right.
Complex things. Exposed right away, right? Git is the most bare bones, like, down and dirty version control you could possibly use.
Right.
I love it. It's an amazing piece of version control software, but it is the ugliest piece of shit ever. If you're looking at something that's elegant, it's really not. Mercurial is much more elegant.
People are acting like Git was written by a dude who created Linux or something. I mean, Jesus.
Yeah, I know. I mean, he only created, you know, the operating system that no one wants to use.
Hey, all my other machines are running Ubuntu.
No, I love Linux, but... not for personal use. Right?
Not for personal fun and profit.
Yeah. But yeah, it's just, that's the thing. So anyway, what he's saying is, instead of, we need to change the conversation. Instead of doing why Git's better than Mercurial, or why Mercurial's better than Git, or why Ruby's better than PHP, or whatever, we should really just be doing why PHP is great, why Ruby is great, why Vim is great. Just tell people why the hell you like the thing that you like, and then let them make their own choice. So to get this started, he went and made ilovemercurial.com, which you can go to. It collects tweets with the hashtag ilovemercurial.
I'm just picturing some like little fluffy animal that's collecting tweets and storing them to the side.
Maybe it is. Maybe it is. I don't know if Mercurial has a mascot or not. I don't remember. But I mean, I like one person has quite possibly the best. Oh, Kiln. That's the name of the repository tracker. Has possibly the best reason to love Mercurial, and that's because it's two letters instead of three. Whereas if you alias your Git to G, then I suppose it's one letter at that point. And then Git's easier.
Maybe. I don't know.
But no, I think he has a good point. I think it is a very good idea to focus on the positive aspect of why you like something, because that's definitely going to convert more people if you're worried about converting people than telling them that something else sucks. Right?
Right.
Like, if I want to get you to watch a TV show, right? Like, maybe you love Babylon 5.
I love MacGyver.
Okay, you love MacGyver. And I think MacGyver's a piece of shit, and you should be watching Eureka instead. I know you like Eureka as well. But, okay, A-Team, right? You're like, I love MacGyver, and I'm like, I love A-Team. MacGyver's a piece of shit. If that's all I ever come at you with is MacGyver's a piece of shit, you're never going to listen to me. But if I go, dude, the A-Team is awesome, they have to drug the dude to get him on a plane in every single episode, you might find that interesting.
You know what I'm going to listen to? I'm going to listen to you when you say, dude, A-Team sort of has this type of stuff from MacGyver plus this other thing.
Well, there is that as well, yes. But that's – if I just start off telling you I love A-Team because they drug the big black dude in every single episode.
It happens.
I know. But I'm just saying, if I tell you that, then you're going to respond better than if I go, MacGyver's a piece of shit because he always uses 10.
No, I'm going to respond, Kenneth Love, this show sounds kind of racist.
Well, it was the early 80s. I mean, you know.
Whatever.
We'd just gotten over the fire hoses and stuff. Campaign monitor.
Where do you live?
I grew up in Oklahoma, remember?
Right. Dude, wait. Is it just me or does the... This looks like Grant Imahara. I'm sorry.
That is not Grant Imahara.
Like Grant Imahara.
I do believe that's a chick.
I know, but okay. When you zoom in, it no longer looks like Grant Imahara. She's actually pretty cute, but still, zoomed out.
It's not Grant Imahara.
Zoomed out, it looks like she could build a robot.
I suppose if you want it to look like Grant Imahara. See, now, I don't know which is worse. Are you saying that she looks like Grant Imahara?
Or that Grant Imahara looks like her.
Or Grant Imahara looks like a chick.
I said only when it was zoomed out.
When it zoomed out a little bit, but that could also be playing to the whole, you know, people of other races always look the same.
It just reminds, what's the saying? She looks good from far, far away, but she, no, you know what, we're not having this conversation. She actually is a very nice looking lady. And
she wrote an article about a cool thing.
And we need to validate our HTML CSS email code with Fractal.
That's just it. HTML emails are a pain in the ass, right?
We shouldn't be making them, period.
I agree, but that's not going to change anything. Listen, you should be doing ilovepaintextemails.com, not I hate HTML emails.
Can't I hate? I want to vote against, not for.
No. You vote for. You always vote for. Never vote against. Anyway, it's a pain in the ass to do HTML and CSS emails. It's especially a pain in the ass to make sure that they're valid, that they're actually going to display well, whatever. So, Fractal is a new tool from Campaign Monitor that will validate your HTML emails for you.
Wait. I got something.
Okay.
I got to switch to the other camera. Oh, you can't see it because you're not on Ustream.
I'm not on Ustream. I don't want to be on Ustream.
Look at that. Look at that chat room. Look at that. It's the same. It's the same. I found a picture of Grant Imahara.
All right, we're back. Okay, so actually, I don't know if Fractal may not be from Campaign Monitor. I may be wrong on that one.
No, it's Campaign Monitor, right?
No, yeah, it's Campaign Monitor, yeah. Anyway, though, it looks cool. Looks like a handy thing to do. Also makes it so that you don't have to memorize CSS support for all the different browsers and email clients and so on and so forth.
Right.
Because nobody likes to memorize.
I'm done with the show. I've had my... I can't
We're not done. We got three more links. We're not done yet. Four if we include the one that Abdel wants us to show.
What is this? Their minion thing?
It's not minions.
Wait, what did I miss?
It's miners.
Wait.
There's a big difference between minions and miners.
Not if you have minion miners or minor minions.
Yes, well, I don't know if we'll talk about this link or not. Well, I'll have it open, and we'll see.
What is this?
Google Swiffy is our next link. Google Swiffy. Swiffy converts Flash Swift files to HTML5, supposedly allowing you to reuse Flash content on devices without a Flash player. Supports a subset of Swift 8 and ActionScript 2, and the outkit works in all WebKit browsers such as Chrome and Mobile Safari. If possible, exporting it as a Swift 5 might get better results. It seems kind of stupid.
It's from Google, though.
To me. It is from Google, but that doesn't mean it's not stupid. You remember Wave?
Dude, Wave was awesome.
And Buzz?
Wave had, they had the spaceship and everything, and then the chick who had the mysterious past, and then they would fly around doing jobs and stuff because they were smugglers.
What?
Wave, right?
Google Wave?
It was named after Firefly. You suck. You got a new wave coming in. Blah, whatever. Yeah, I don't like this. This is stupid.
Just not. Wow. Yeah. Anyway, though, I guess if it works for you and you need it, it's there.
Right. Awesome. But I don't. Okay. I like if no, you, some, I, hey, your, I, your client no. comes to you and says, "I'd like to be able to keep my splash screen, but it's done in Flash. Can we do it in HTML5 so that it's you know, up to date?"
Right. 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 Yeah. No. It's exactly what it is, and it's not a good.
I want to be cutting edge. I need to upgrade my splash screen.
Yeah, my splash screen needs to be HTML5. Hey, you remember that dude that we talked about had the stupidly long splash screen animation? Maybe that's what he used.
Maybe.
So Anti-Rez, the guy that created Redis, whose name I can never remember.
Banana Boat Jackson.
Guillermo, but that's not right.
I've
whatever
heard
his name
before.
The Redis guy, the guy who created Redis, he put up a blog post of how to take advantage of Redis just by adding it to your stack.
Just have it sitting there hanging out.
No, not exactly. That would be cool, but not exactly. Basically what he's saying is this is how you can bring Redis into what you're doing to take care of these things, these little time-consuming things in SQL without converting, like, all your shit over to being Redis, without doing a whole lot of Redis,
mm-hmm.
right? So it's actually pretty handy. Like, he talks about if you have, like, select star from foo, where, whatever, order by time, descending limit 10, right? If you've got a whole lot of things in here or you have some crazy where clause, this could be really kind of slow query to run. But if you just, every time you add something to foo, you also just pop it into this Redis collection, or a Redis list, sorry, and then you just grab these last few items out of Redis, you're going to have the same list of things that you would have gotten from SQL, but in a matter of seconds milliseconds.
I was going to say a matter of seconds. I think you've got some very low expectations.
Matter of milli or nanoseconds as opposed to seconds. So yeah, it's just, he kind of gives a few other different little examples of same kinds of uses, but it's just the idea of adding stuff to Redis to take the load off of the rest of your server. So it's a good idea. I mean, that's basically how I got started using Redis. It was like, oh, this thing here will take forever to do in SQL, or we have to do all these queries, so that's a pain in the ass to do in SQL. Let's just toss it into this Redis collection and
fuck queries.
It worked. It was faster. The problem with Redis, and I will warn people of this, is that Redis is a hammer. You know the saying, if all you have is a hammer, everything looks like a nail. Redis is a hammer. Once you have the Redis hammer, you'll start finding tons of things to solve with Redis, not all of which
should
be. That's
just because you like telling people, oh, I use Redis, I use Redis, blah, 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 blah.
The thing is, it's the exact same way with Mongo. You start working with Mongo, and you're like, I can just do this in Mongo. This will be great in Mongo. And then you start doing...
magnificent.
And then you come to your first instance of, well, I'll just store the object ID of this other thing.
Dude, there's nothing wrong with doing...
And then you're right back to doing relational databases, and you should be using...
You still get tons... I mean, if you've got a bunch of things that are straight documents that have... 20
documents.
Things nested into them, and you want to link to that top document and things like that. There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, the guys who Kyle Banger, instead of Bragger, I think it's Banger, has went over like hundreds of times. Like, it's not a problem. You still get speed increases. It's still easier to query, that type of thing. Whatever, son. Whatever.
I'm not saying it's bad in every situation. I'm not saying you're always going to fuck up your data and do it that way.
I will gross
point blank
you.
I'm just saying it's very easy for that to happen.
It might be. It might be. You might be right.
It is.
I just know that I had to go back and work with a regular MySQL database in Rails a few days ago, and I was like, migration? What is this migration you speak of?
Yeah, I still do a lot of stuff with migrations, with actual databases. But I've been using a lot of Mongo lately. It's very nice. It's a wonderful database to work with, especially when you're not having to write it all by hand. But, yeah, it's definitely it's another hammer. So, yeah. All right, so
we've been on this site before.
We have. We've been on
this
site.
And I pointed out these pictures, these silly pictures.
Yeah, I've got him with Simon Free and Jason Dean, whoever the hell they are.
I got him with Vicky Ryder.
Simon Free is not happy looking.
Simon Free is not pleased.
He is not. No, I'm gonna here.
I'm refreshing a few times.
He is not a happy dude. I'm gonna put this in the channel here. There we go. Simon Free is not a happy
dude.
Whoa!
No, wait. I got him with like two other dudes at a table, and collars are popped, sir. Collars are popped.
Wow.
And sunglasses. It's ridiculous.
So, not going to talk extensively about this one. It's a little video tutorial and then some code for how to do it if you want to do it instead of following along in the video for doing a content reveal using Paper.js.
What is a let me click play on this video. Let's see.
Yeah, go ahead. Click play on it. You can watch a little bit of it.
Holy fuck, it's 5 minutes long.
Yeah, it's really long. The basic idea is like you'd have like a black screen, and then you have like a circle that grows, and inside the circle is your content, so it reveals the content.
So it's masking?
Yeah, it's masking. But it's a content reveal because it's masking over your content.
How long do I have to play this video until I actually get to see something revealed?
I just kind of scrub through it, and you'll see him do it.
Outrageous.
He does mention that this might not be the best application of Canvas, and maybe he should have done SVG instead, which I would agree with, but if he's just kind of showing off the cool stuff you can do with Paper.js, it's not a horrible example.
All right, I think it's about to run, people. I think we're about to see it. Uh-oh. Oh, look at that. It's beautiful. It's sexy. Yay.
Is it? Is it sexy?
No,
is
it's
sexy
just a, it's just a circle going around and showing some text.
It is just a circle going around.
Oh, shit. What the hell just... Oh, ooh, I just found up on random things.
Somebody claims it's useless. Yeah, it's not useless. It just has a very limited use set.
It's not useless. You'll just never use
not.
It.
It's not useless. If you need
the intro
crazy
for a
animating
CSS game.
Charts, if you need a non-flash animation for your splash screen, yes, it's perfect for PowerPoint transitions.
Can I shape that circle as a giant penis?
You probably could.
or perhaps
you have a second mask that comes in from the side.
Would be like the old Batman, right, from the 60s or whatever. Whenever they would go to a new scene, it would be like something.
It'd be like pow, and then
it would
does
like the. It would like fade in and then fade out and then pull you to the new scene. You could do that.
Can you do the animated Batman logo spinning and the sound of it?
Yes, that's exactly what you should do.
I think it'd be cool if every time you clicked on a link, it popped up like a big pow or zam or zowie.
That's what you got to replace. Wait, so we went from the Raptor to Paul Irish back to the Raptor.
Now it needs to be
Mayor West.
Bam,
it has
pow,
to be Mayor
pow.
West.
Adam West?
No, it has to be Mayor West.
Mayor West.
His character.
I don't find Mayor West as funny as the 60s Batman was. What if it's the Batman carrying the bomb from the movie?
Just constantly the entire
time. And
she
goes across the screen, back and forth a couple of times.
and then there's a school of ducks. Damn it. Some nuns. That is so classic. I love that.
Chris Jones is recommending Jason Blim. But I'm only going to do that if I can put in kill yourself and things like that, because that'd be funnier.
I'm having a hard time keeping up the chat because it keeps scrolling back to the top.
It doesn't if you're using IRC like a real person.
Somebody else is saying, why doesn't the chat window show new messages? I have to scroll down. Son of a bitch. Whatever. All right, what's this extra thing we're putting in with the minions? No, I hear typing,
I don't know if we should cover this or not.
Why not? What is it? Wait, you sent me a link, didn't you?
Fuck it, whatever. We'll talk about it. So code.a+m.me/forest.
Oh, why is there a pedo bear?
This is Abdel M. and material designer, AB and material designer on Forests. This is their creation. So what this does, this
wait,
scours...
is this for me to just go and remove all these people?
Pretty much, yeah.
Thank you.
This scours the Forest API looking for certain words, like young, 15 years old, 14 years old.
So forth. Who made anyone, this? I want to help
anyone
them.
Who has those words in their profile gets pulled out in this. And then it's up to the moderators on Forest to go find these people.
Has
and,
Kyle seen this?
Kyle has seen this. His response was, why the hell did they build that?
This
but
is,
it was early morning, so I think maybe he was, you know, drunk
is,
still.
This is the best thing in the world. I love this.
Is it? Is this the best thing? Mike thinks this is the best thing in the world. Other people, I guess. I kind of wonder about it because, for one thing, this gives all these people the message, hey, you better go change your profile real quick. But yeah, no, this is it's a cool idea. And if nothing else, I do believe this is the first app we have seen using the Forest API.
Maybe.
I don't remember for sure, but I think it is. Material Designer says that it is all stored in a database, so even if they go change their profile, we can still find them.
I was about to say, not stored in a database? That's crazy!
Maybe it's stored in Mongo or Redis. Seriously, though, if you're storing
this...
It's just a flat file.
It's just
if you're actually storing this in a real relational database, you're wasting resources.
Nobody is
all
saving data
is...
on underage people, which I think is against COPPA.
No, because they have all stated by agreeing to the terms and service that they are above the age of 16. If they are not above the age of 16, they're in violation of the terms of service, and it would just be you doing your due diligence to remove them from the site. I don't believe that would contrast with COPPA.
Whatever, I wanted to.
Yeah. So, anyway.
Anyway, oh, anything else? Anything else to talk about?
Apparently, Material Designer wanted it to be stored in Mongo. Chris agrees it should be a collection of Mongo. And Abdel wanted to put it in fucking SQL. I'm guessing fucking is the word. It actually just says censored. But we curse on this show.
I wonder, because, so, you know, all your Mongo stuff is all like some... It's sort of like JavaScript, Bison or whatever. I wonder if people could go ahead and recreate... I want to store Reddit stores inside of Mongo documents.
You mean Redis?
Yes, what did I say?
Reddit.
Yes.
Bit of difference there. So you want to put Redis
inside of Mongo, and it should all be run by Fubi on Fails using Heroku, running on.
Can we get some like React
Python
or CouchDB in there somewhere?
Maybe. I just realized. I think the camera's on me and I'm eating popcorn.
The camera's on you eating popcorn. Wow, that's lovely.
Yes, it's true.
I don't believe this is live because I don't hear any fireworks going off. It's the middle of the day in the U.S. There aren't any fireworks going off except for my redneck neighbors.
That's beautiful.
Seriously, the other I don't like the people that live above me. The other night, seriously, they were having a tickle chase upstairs at 1 in the morning.
A tickle chase? What do you...
All I could hear was stomping.
Do you live underneath an entire apartment of beautiful lady co-eds?
I wish, but
having,
no.
Having a tickle
all
chase.
All I hear is running from one side of the apartment to the other and then giggling when they reach the front door. or the back sliding glass door.
I think it was cats.
No, it wasn't cats. Cats don't giggle.
All right, so is this the end of the show?
It's the end of the show. So you can find us at forestpodcast.com, on Twitter at username forestpodcast. You can email us. podcast@forest.com. We're pretty much always in the IRC channel on Freenode, forest-chat. And I guess now you can find us on Ustream.
Yes, well, occasionally. But I'm going to be taking the... we've actually, besides broadcasting, we are actually also saving a higher quality feed, which we'll be putting up on the website to stream. And I'll eventually be setting up a second iTunes feed, which will be video as well. So,
wow.
Yeah.
We're going
crazy.
All out.
I don't know.
And
hopefully.
Then you, you said you're going to send me a camera at some point.
I got to send you a new camera because you don't have... you don't have a new Mac. So you don't have like the HD webcam. So I'm going to send you a new camera, and then hopefully my buddy Nick DeNardis, who's a Forest member and does a lot of stuff with like university websites and stuff. Hopefully you can make some time to come over here a few days a week and be live, which would be cool.
It looks like we're being asked to do some user questions.
Some user questions?
Let's see if people have any good questions. You've got like a couple of minutes. We'll do user questions, and then we'll be done with the show.
Tell us things.
Anybody else? Anybody got a question?
I don't know if I want to answer any of these questions. They might be. Is Keith love wearing pants?
We're gonna start. Not real ones.
What are fake pants? You painted pants onto your legs?
No, they're like pajama pants.
Oh, okay.
I haven't gotten dressed yet today.
Can you stop harassing my mom? No.
Yeah, probably not. She owes us money.
There's, what was it? It was a real Rails Rumble app a few years ago that was specifically you put in clients who owed you money, put in the amount,
yep.
And it would just automatically email them every few days.
I remember that one. That was an awesome, awesome application. That was a great use of programming time.
All right, no questions. I see no questions.
No questions. I will give one. I guess it doesn't matter because you can't register for it now. But
what do you think of Google Plus?
The Django Dash is coming up this weekend. If you want to compete, non.
Are you
non-real? I'm not. Chris is, but okay. I have to go to Massachusetts. So,
right.
What do you think of Google Plus?
I love it.
I like it so far. I don't think it's necessarily going to kill Facebook or anything like that.
I was just thinking. I think it would be hilarious. You know, Facebook has been putting off doing an IPO. Some people had ridiculous numbers of like $100 billion IPO and stuff. And I think it'd be hilarious if 4 months from now they finally decide to do it and. You know, they end up walking away with 500 million like Facebook or MySpace.
Yeah, I mean, it's I like it. I like Google Plus. I don't know, like I said, that it's going to kill Facebook or anything. I like the idea of circles, but I also find it kind of annoying that I have to tell it like where I want stuff shared. Just fucking do public by default.
It will now. Yeah, that bothered me a lot, but I realized. Whatever the last thing you shared to, it keeps it. So I deleted out of the little share box, I deleted like friends and then designers, developers, and just put public. And now every time I go in there, it does public by default now.
Good to know. Let's see. We got two other questions here. When's the next podcast? Tomorrow?
Yeah, it should be tomorrow.
That's kind of the way it always works.
Wednesday? Wait, when are you going on vacation? Or not vacation, but when are you going
Thursday,
to show off
Thursday.
Your...
Thursday morning.
Your loins.
So we will be doing Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday this week.
There might not be one Wednesday. Or I guess I can wait. Because, well, because anybody who watched the video, I'm doing more upgrades to the studio, and I was planning on putting in a new TV and some more lighting and another camera on Wednesday. But I might just wait till Thursday since you're going to be
just
gone
wait,
for a week
right.
Anyway.
And then I will not be back until the next Thursday night. So it'll be a week before we have the next one. It'll be Monday the... 18th before we record again.
Oh, right.
So you guys have a week and a half long break.
Me and Chris Jones are just going to do some episodes without him.
Do it! I think Chris would be an interesting co-host. He'd just sit there and giggle about stuff the whole time.
Shoot things.
We've also been asked, what do we think of the MySpace sell-off?
Oh, Justin Timberlake?
They went for a whole lot less than I'm sure they wanted to.
Was it like 46 million?
Something like that, yeah. It was a pretty low number. It was sub 50 million, I do believe.
I don't know why. What do they think they're going to get from it?
Well, you remember the last time they sold, when they sold to Time Warner, it was a gigantic chunk of money. I don't remember what it was now, but it was in the hundreds.
I thought they sold to Fox for 500 million.
Yeah, doesn't Fox own Time Warner?
I don't think so.
Anyway, whenever they got Media Corp, that's it.
Yeah, that's Fox.
News Corp. Whatever the fuck it is. Rupert Murdoch's thing. Yeah, when they bought, it was several hundred million. And so now they're selling for like 50 million, which is... I mean, it's similar to like Skype. When eBay bought Skype, it was like a couple of hundred million. When eBay sold Skype, it was like 12 million.
Here's $2.
Then,
get out of
yeah,
here,
and
kid.
And then now Microsoft bought Skype, and it was like approaching a billion, wasn't
it? Are
we
going to have to start doing the show on Facebook now after Wednesday? When Facebook and Skype team up?
No, I'm actually thinking about canceling my Facebook account. So no, we're not doing.
I don't care what they do. It's not going to match the Hangout feature on Google Plus. It is awesome.
The Hangout feature on Google Plus is going to be pretty hard.
I enjoyed the hell out of using that. Plus, you get to see when people are meeting up, so you can just hop in. And you'd be
I find that a little weird, because I didn't see any way to, like, make a hangout private.
No, you shouldn't. I want to be able to show up and be like, dude, Kenneth, what the fuck? Why did you hang out with Zach and Kyle and Keith without me? What's going on here?
The great thing will be, we've been talking about doing, we do a morning scrum, and we typically do it over Skype.
Mm-hmm.
So I invited everybody over to hang out, and we're talking about doing them on Hangout, which will be great if somebody like you just decides to troll into the middle of my work scrum.
What's up, bitches?
You're just like, hey, how you guys doing? So, yeah. Chris says it was $35 million that it sold for this time around. So that's a pretty low amount for the behemoth that MySpace was. Granted, they're nowhere near what they used to be. But
I still don't understand what you're going to get from it. Like, I don't know. I mean, like, even the 13-year-olds aren't on there anymore. They've grown up and they've moved over to Facebook.
I have a friend that he's got a band, and I asked him, like, why are you still on MySpace? Because his band is still on MySpace. And he was talking about how it actually does still get a huge amount of coverage for bands. Like, people don't just go there to hang out. That's Facebook now. But as far as music is concerned, MySpace is still relevant.
You know how you get your band out now? This is, you know what the new shit is?
Turntable.fm.
You get all five of your band members to go in and take over the DJ slots in a room and just play your new CD.
Yeah, and just upload your album and just play that.
That's right. Just over and over and fucking over again.
Yeah, it'd be awesome. that would actually be a really good way
the
to
new
get your
listening
band
party.
Out. If anybody's listening, that's how you get your band.
I'm just giving out ideas, baby.
Yeah,
if nobody steals my talk show turntable one, I'm going to do that for Rails Rumble whenever that's announced.
Yeah.
Not talk show, but like it's turntable, but instead of playing music, you have 2 minutes to talk, and then it immediately cuts you off and takes you to the next person. So you set up a topic, like, you know, Batman versus
Superman. So it's a round table.
Right.
But
and it auto advances just like turntable.
It's chat roulette plus round table.
Minus the penises.
So it's like
is that penai? I don't know.
Round roulette.
Whatever, are we done this time?
Something. Yeah, we're done. I'm not answering any more questions. fuck you people.
We already said where they can find us. This is overtime. This is
Yes,
podcast overtime.
This is the after party. Show's over.
Bye, all right, people. Peace.